What's up, everybody? Eddie Mercado here with BloodyElbow.com, and I'm about to speak with Felipe Nover, the Tough Season 8 finalist. He is 11-6-1, and he is set to face Henan Barao in the co-main event of UFC Fight Night 95 on September 24th. So let's give Felipe a call, find out how this fight came to be, and see how his training camp's going, and what can we expect from him in Brazil.
Hello.
Mr. Felipe Nover.
Yes, how you doing, Eddie?
I'm well, sir. How are you doing?
Not too bad, man. Everything's swell.
All right, man. Well, thank you for taking out the time. You are 11-6-1. You're back in the UFC. You've won four of your last five. How are things, man?
Things are great, man. I'm just finishing up an afternoon morning session in the city, and I'm feeling great. I feel like this big fight coming up is the biggest one of my career, and I feel confident and ready to go, man. I'm feeling strong.
Okay. Now, of course, the first time the UFC audience saw you was on the Ultimate Fighter Season 8. Absolutely ran shop on the show, made it to the finals, lost the decision to Efren Escudero, left the UFC, came back, and I mean, it's kind of a different landscape. I mean, what are your thoughts on like the current state of the UFC? Like, it's been sold, and USADA, and the IV ban. I mean, what are your thoughts on the new stuff?
I mean, things definitely changed, and I think some things changed for the better. I think that getting stricter on the the use of potential drug abusers and cheaters, I think that's a good thing. Where we're really making sure that we have a level playing field. So that's a good thing. And I think it's gone really mainstream since 2008. When I first started in the Ultimate Fighter, and then even fought a couple times and lost those, I mean, people really didn't know what the UFC was, and it's still progressing. We still have a lot of work to do to keep getting to a bigger market and a bigger audience. But it's definitely changed. We got new stars. We got we got so many popular fighters, and I'm just glad to be in the mix, and I'm glad to be still doing what I love to do. You know, a lot of my training partners, I'd say a lot of the guys I look up to, some of them retired, and here I am. I feel like balancing a passion and a dream of mine along with a full-time career as a nurse, and I'm hustling, and I'm grinding, and I still have this dream.
Okay.
So, I'm excited, man. This is a big deal for me.
Awesome, man. So you're still a full-time registered nurse in New York?
Yes, I'm a full-time registered nurse. I'm certified in cardiac cath. I work in pretty intense environment. Yeah, I assist interventional cardiologists. We put stents in people's hearts, and I do that full-time. And along with that, I'm training every day, before work, after work, during work. I'm always training, so I got no excuses, man. I'm always grinding.
Okay. Now, how much of your nursing training does really help you as far as like recovery goes and injury treatment and things of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, I got into nursing because a few reasons, but I love the human body and learning about the human body, nutrition, healing, anatomy, physiology. And, and now that I've been a nurse for over 10 years now, and I work with some of the best people in the world who know about the human body. So, I have full access to whatever I need. If I needed, hey, doc, I need an opinion about this, or I think my foot might be, as an MMA fighter, I always have tons of stuff bothering me, and every fighter knows that. So at least I definitely have access to all the medical professionals that I need, and I could give a good opinion on even my own body when I have symptoms.
Okay. Now, what do you think of the whole earlier weigh-ins with the ban of IVs? Do you think that was a good move, or do you think intravenous is kind of the way to go as far as rehydrating?
As far as rehydrating, I was a fan of the IVs, believe it or not. for years. I do my own IV on myself.
Okay.
you know, but I'm a stickler to the rules. And then if the UFC wants to ban it, and the reason why they want to ban it is because if you they believe that if you IV, you could flush out some performance enhancing drugs. It could mask some performance enhancing drugs. So why not cut it all together? And then, I mean, I'm definitely a 145er, and I seeked out my last couple of fights. I seeked out professional nutritionist and professional dieter. George Lockhart helped me out in my two camps, and I know exactly how to get to 145 now. And I don't even need to do IV, so I feel great. You know, I am happy that they will allow you to weigh in the morning of. I just got the email again from the UFC that they said on my fight on the 24th, the day before, which usually they have the weigh-ins 24 hours before. Now they're going to allow you to weigh in officially in the morning. So this will give you like a 36-hour time period instead of 24 hours to replenish. You know, and I think that's safe. So I mean, I'm a fan of moving forward and having a level playing field.
Okay, awesome. Now, before you came back to the UFC, you went 2-1 in Bellator. Now, how come you didn't stay on for Bellator?
I could tell you at the time, you know, my dream was to get back in the UFC, and I think that the UFC has the highest calibers of all the fight organizations, and you know, and I think my last fight with Bellator at the time, I had some negotiating issues for another contract with them, and you know, they're a great company, and I'm not bad-mouthing any company, and I decided, you know what, Bellator is not going to sign me at the time, and even the UFC wasn't looking at me yet again, so I said, hey, I'm going to make some calls. I got some friends in the local circuit, and, you know, I linked up with my original local show, and I got a fight in Ring of Combat, and I fought for the title, the lightweight title, I think even featherweight, I can't even remember, a couple years ago, and I did well with them, and I just knew I needed a couple wins, and I could represent myself to the UFC.
Okay, now what would, like, a new fighter? What would you offer them as far as advice, as far as, you know, going on a show like The Ultimate Fighter? I mean, it's a real demanding show. It's a real kind of tough way to get into the UFC. I mean, do you recommend maybe going to a regional scene and working there? And then, you know, trying to get discovered that way, or do you encourage people to go on the show?
I think you have to explore all options as a fighter. So, you know, don't just say, hey, I'm going to do this road, I'm going to take another road. You got to get those fights in, obviously, to get that experience, get those amateur fights, get those professional fights. And if you have the personality that you could talk on the microphone and you're not scared of the cameras, which is great, because that's marketability in the future. You know, besides being a fighter and, you know, and performing, they want you to be able to market. You know, they want to see a story. It's just like any other show business type of situation if you're on television. So I would present yourself, tell them the story. Everybody has a story. You just got to tell them what you're doing in your life, why you fight, and pursue it. If the Ultimate Fighter tryouts come about, go out there and have a good time and present yourself and just be ready to talk in front of the camera. Don't choke up and be ready to choke mother effers out when it comes down to fighting in there.
Okay. Now, you made it back to the UFC. What kind of led to that? You went to some local scenes. You did your thing. I mean, did they come at you or did you contact them?
I heard that they're going to have a UFC in Manila right, like, the week after I won the Ring of Combat title. I heard they're going to have a UFC in Manila, and with my Filipino background and, you know, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, but as a kid, I've always gone back to the Philippines. My mom's from the Philippines, and I just started telling my friends and family and my fans to, hey, listen, I gotta be on this card, and, I spoke to my manager, and he was like, listen, let me make some calls and see what they say. And I got a contract. So, and I had my first fight back in Manila. It was like a dream come true. Fighting in front of of my people, pretty much, and it was amazing. I have a house out there too, so I didn't even have to like stay at that hotel too much.
Okay, nice.
I felt right at home over there too, so it was an amazing experience.
Okay, now how many fights did you sign on for?
I have a four fight deal.
Okay, so you'll have a fourth one after Henan Barao. Okay, well,
yeah.
It just so happens 21 days after your Henan Barao fight, the UFC will be back in Manila.
Yes, I know.
Is there any chances of getting you on that card?
I love fighting, and you know, I take things piece by piece though, and I'd love to continue at it. All goes well, you know, and everything goes as planned. I come out, no injuries and stuff. Man, I'd love to fight in Manila again 21 days later, but even more so, I'd love to fight in Madison Square Garden, which is right here in my real hometown of New York.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, we'll see. I mean, I got high hopes for everything, and I'm working extra hard toward these goals. I'm not looking past my opponent at all. This is the biggest fight in my career. So
yeah, absolutely. How did this fight even come to be? How'd you get presented Henan Barao in Brazil, no less?
I guess my manager did some work, and I think he's a big name. I told my manager I'm ready to go, and month after month I haven't fought. Since I took a loss in Vegas last year, I think it was in December, and
okay, that was to Kugov.
And, you know, that was to Kugov. It was a tough fight for me, and you know, it was kind of close, but you know, I took a loss there, split decision, I think I remember, and you know, and I kept training, and I said, hey man, you know, this guy was a tough opponent. I said, you know, let me get an opponent with a name too. And here we go. You know, former world champion.
Yeah, absolutely. A big, tough order. Now, what are your kind of thoughts on his striking? He's kind of known for his grappling, but he's also, you know, a Nova Uniao guy. So what do you think of his striking?
I think, he's the best in the world at what he does. And, you know, I watch a lot of tape. I'm a huge fan of analysis, statistics, and just watching stuff and seeing person's actions and things. And I you know what's crazy? I'm a fan of his too before this. I even went to watch him live when he fought Dillashaw in Newark. I was there at the Prudential Center.
Okay.
So, you know, but I think his striking is great. I think he's a super well-rounded guy. Super well-rounded guy. And he better hope that he comes in the best he possibly can, because I'm coming in 10 times better than I was my last fight.
Okay, now, of course, you're a BJJ black belt yourself. You're training with Renzo Gracie. On The Ultimate Fighter, it was Sub City for you. I mean, who's the better grappler in this fight, you or Barao?
I mean, it could be either of us. I'm not too sure. I think it's going to be a question who's going to be the better MMA fighter. But, you know, the guy in his last fight, he shot him a lot. He failed a couple of takedowns. I think he might have some issues in the 145 division dealing with a guy like Jeremy Stevens, who I think is not that big of a 45er. I think I'm bigger than Jeremy. And I think that Barao's really a 135er, and he just doesn't want to cut the weight, which is fine. So he's going to fight a bigger guy who's longer and taller and stronger, and that's going to be me.
Okay.
So
now, yeah. I mean, with the loss for Henan Barao, that's three in a row. What do you think would happen to him after that?
If he comes in there and loses, you said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of tough, you know, and I'm not even, you know, I read the comments, and I'm not, you know, why is Barao fighting over, you know, Sean Shelby set this up, and the UFC wanted this, so they have to have some type of analysis. They want an exciting fight. I think there's going to be an exciting fight. I know the UFC, we'll see what happens with them. I don't know what his contract states, but I mean, the guy's a former world champion, but if I go out there and I finish the fight and win, you know, I know the UFC's gonna like that a lot, or if we even have a good back-and-forth battle, we'll see what happens. You know, I'm hoping I haven't even thought about him after the fight, so.
Okay. All right. Now, Of course, we said you're training with Renzo Gracie. You doing anything special for Barao specifically?
I mean, you know, without giving out my complete game plan and sure. what I'm going to do out there, I've just been getting better as a complete fighter. You know, I'm working out with top-level guys in the East Coast and I think the world, so, you know, besides working out with Renzo Gracie, I work out at Church Street Boxing with Jason Strout. One of my good friends is Jared Gordon, who's also a featherweight and a lightweight, you know, working out with Marlon Moraes,
okay.
current world champion at bantamweight division and straight-up killer. Sparring with him and Andre Harris, who's a Titan FC featherweight champion, the meanest wrestler you could possibly work with, LaVon Maxchiavelli in Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work with top of the line guys. I'm working with professional boxers. I'm working with some of the best sporty jiu-jitsu guys you could possibly set on the mat. So between Eddie Cummings, Gary Gordon, Gary Tonin, Eddie and Gordon Ryan. I mean, I have all the opportunity in front of me. I have all the coaches and the staff and everything. I just need to go out there and do my plan, you know?
Okay. Now, what's your prediction? How do you see it going down?
I see me finishing him in the first or second round, either with a submission or a knockout.
Okay, awesome. Now,
because it's not going to decision in Brazil. If it goes to decision, even if every round is a 10-9 or 10-8 round in my favor, Brazil's going to get in the decision. So I can tell you that much.
That, you know, Brazil is kind of notorious for their iffy judging. I'll give you that.
So,
now, the East Coast is kind of starting to blow up as far as MMA goes. Especially up north. I mean, now it's become legal. The UFC is heading to Madison Square Garden. Of course, Renzo Gracie's school's up there. There's a, you know, Tiger Schulman's up there. I mean, can you kind of explain the landscape of how it's changing a bit and kind of it's growing in the Northeast?
Wow, it's definitely growing, and we are the last state that needs to have the UFC and MMA. You know, we were the last state to get it legalized. I remember they were petitioning MMA to be legal in New York back in 2008, so... And I was behind those campaigns that the UFC was putting together. And here we are, years later.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the scene is definitely changing. You know, and I think it's changing for the better as an MMA fighter and people realizing and respecting MMA fighters, and it's just becoming more popular. There's a lot of MMA gyms popping up. There's a lot of jiu-jitsu gyms, kickboxing gyms, and just gyms with cages, which is crazy. Back when I was training, I had my first fight in 2003. Nobody even knew what this was. I didn't even know what it was. I just said, hey, I can put on gloves and punch people and kick people and throw people. Sign me up.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, now, who you got any sponsors or people you want to give a shout-out to?
I mean, I'd definitely like to thank my manager for helping me out along this path, and my coach, Jason Strout. My manager is Ali, by the way. My coach, Jason Strout. Mike Carmillo, who's my actual instructor in jiu-jitsu. He's a black belt under Renzo Gracie. Dave Esposito from Edge Wrestling. Man, I got so many guys. Also, Future Legend, they're a clothing company that they're always behind me. And then all the fans and the friends and family that still support me after all these years. I've been fighting for 13 years, the ups and the downs of a bumpy career, and I still have a lot of support from everyone, and that's really where my drive comes from.
Awesome. Now, what are your social media handles?
Oh, I mean, just look me up. It's Philippe Nover. That's Philippe Nover. That's my Instagram. That's my Facebook. And my Twitter. So just at Philip Nover.
Awesome. Well, Philippe Nover, thank you so much for taking out the time. Huge fight ahead of you, Renan Barao, UFC Fight Night 95 on September 24th in Brazil. Best of luck to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, brother.
Absolutely. You have a good one.
All right. You too. Bye. Bye.
So there you have it. The 11-6-1 Philippe Nover set to take on Renan Barao in the co-main event of UFC Fight Night 95 on September 24th in Brazil. It should be good. In the meantime, read me on bloodyelbow.com. Follow me on Twitter at TheEddieMercado. And be a good person.